Now it's time for Food Friday. Our guest says he likes food that's loud and hits you over the head. Some samples, lobster, tostadas, fried bologna sandwiches with salt and vinegar potato chips, and triple-decker hot pastrami and coleslaw sandwiches. In his New Orleans restaurant, Turkey and the Wolf, he features creative mishmashes of Southern classics and offbeat gas station favorites. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Let's focus in on those sandwiches. Do you have a favorite sandwich of all time, one that you made or a parent made or that you got at a restaurant? Do you like to incorporate what other people might see as weird stuff into your sandwiches? What questions do you have about Southern cooking? Do you have some guilty pleasure food that you love to make and maybe don't even feel that guilty about? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas at WPR.org. Mason Hereford is a chef and author of Turkey and the Wolf, Flavor Trippin' in New Orleans, which compiles recipes from his New Orleans restaurant of the same name. Mason, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Hey, thanks for having me. I'm pumped.
Me too. And here's why. Before we get into the food, you know, I know running a restaurant's hard work and cooking can be a chore, but one thing I really took away from your book is, I think, you want us to have fun cooking, right?
Yeah, that's the whole idea. You know, we opened our sandwich shop in New Orleans, Turkey and the Wolf, with that being like, you know, a main concern of ours is how to get work done, run a, you know, a profitable restaurant to a certain degree, but more importantly, how to have fun and show up to work every day. And that was the same sort of idea behind writing a cookbook. It's, you know, show people there's fun to be had out there and try to give them access to that fun.
One of your inspirations, you write, is sandwiches and other foods you picked up at gas stations growing up as a kid. Can you talk about that source of your culinary inspiration?
Sure. You know, that just happens to be my most formative food memories at the sort of the youngest age would be the gas station, down the street, down the road from my house. 'Cause I kind of grew up out in the country. And you know, everybody I imagine has these memories of when they were young, and the things they used to eat. And I'm, you know, some of, the biggest and earliest flavor explosions in my memories were like bags of Doritos and, you know, cans of Pringles and Coca-Cola and junk food that's bad for you. But obviously, like, the flavor's dialed up to 10. So maybe those are why they stick in my head. And I'm not sure I'm like a guy that just mixes junk food together. But I will say I think that I like big flavors, and a lot of that might be because of the food I grew up eating.
Now, you focus on sandwiches a lot. And I love a good sandwich. I often order sandwiches at restaurants. But when I make a sandwich at home, I don't know, it's like a plan B or a default. And I don't have respect sometimes for the sandwiches. Pump me up for some respect for sandwich making at home.
Yeah, you know, not the first time I've talked. I've had the conversation about respecting sandwiches. I think every culture has their hand foods and their street foods. That are awesome. One cool thing about the sandwich is that you're going to eat the same bite over and over again. So, you know, you really got to think about it. And to put a few things onto a plate, you can play off each other. You know, if you've got like mashed potatoes and gravy and peas and turkey on Thanksgiving or whatever, you can have a bite with this on it, a bite with that, mix and match. The sandwich is the same bite over and over again. So, I think it really requires you to be thoughtful about what you're eating, because you don't want to get bored and you want to make sure you nail it. So building a sandwich, I think, can oftentimes be more pressure than just putting some things on a plate.
Now, sometimes on Food Friday, I see a piece of practical advice and my head explodes. And I'm like, I want to go home right now and try it. This one is so basic. But OK, so I make a sandwich at home. I either have the bread, you know, I guess raw, or I put it in the toaster. No, you want us to roast it in a pan, let it breathe. Tell us what goes into getting that bread ready and why you do it that way.
Yeah, I think, you know, seeing as there is only one component that's on every sandwich, and that would be the bread, the thing you're sandwiching with. And the bread is very important. So, you know, there's other conversations about how to select your bread and how to think of it as an actual ingredient. But for a lot of sandwiches, I find, you know, buttered toast is a very delectable sandwich ingredient. When I'm using white bread, which is in this cookbook, I think a good portion of sandwiches, maybe half of them, are on, you know, thick cut buttered white bread. And the idea, white bread toast, the idea there is you cut it thick because you want to be able to toast it and get two textures out of it. You want it crispy on the outside and sort of soft on the middle is how I like it. And to achieve that, I like to toast in a pan because the butter melts and caramelizes and it gets a crisp crust on the outside of the bread. And then on the inside, it can be kind of steamed and chewy and nice. But when you take it out of the pan, if you were to just throw it onto a cutting board and start layering it with ingredients, we found this out quickly at our restaurant the week we opened. My friend Colleen actually thought this up, is if you give the bread a chance to breathe by putting it on a resting rack or sort of leaning it up against each other like an A-frame, you can give it time to, like, I don't know, breathe, as you said. So get some airflow around there, and then the crispy outside stays crispy. So when you put the ingredients on there, it sort of has that that base structural integrity to slop things on top and still have, like, toast texture on the outside of the bread. But on the inside, if you cut it thick enough, will have that nice, like, chew that you want out of sandwich bread as well.
It's Food Friday. We're getting great sandwich making advice from Mason Hereford. He has a restaurant in New Orleans called Turkey and the Wolf and a new cookbook called Turkey and the Wolf, Flavor Trippin' in New Orleans. You can join in at 800-642-1234 with your favorite sandwich of all time, or maybe a sandwich that went wrong. 800-642-1234 is the number. That's 800-642-1234. Ross is with us now in Middleton. Ross, hi.
Hi, Rob and Nathan. I've been to New Orleans for the Jazz Fest, and the restaurants down there are phenomenal. And I'm looking forward. I'm hoping to get there next year and check out your sandwich shop. So I was somewhere in the near the French Quarter, whatever, and I thought, oh, I'm going to get myself a shrimp po' boy, and kind of looking forward to it. And when I got it, I was sort of left wanting. It was like there just wasn't much there. It was some bread, some shrimp, and I don't know if there was much else on there. What is a po' boy, and do you make them?
Ross, thanks for the call. Well, Mason, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, so I think what you have hit on is not all po' boys are the same. And there are, like any sandwiches, there are places that make them surprisingly well. And then there's places that, you know, maybe fall short because of a number of reasons. Maybe it was a more touristy spot, which sometimes there are downtown. There's also a lot of gems downtown in the French Quarter. But what a po' boy is traditionally is either a fried seafood or a roast beef sandwich. And there's a few other types of po' boy, but that's what you're going to traditionally see. It all comes down to the French bread. It's going to be on 6, 8, or 12-inch French bread. And French bread in New Orleans is made a certain way and has a certain crumb and texture and crust. So that's very important to the sandwich. And then on top of that, you're going to have your central ingredients, and everyone dresses them differently. But you order your po' boy dressed, which a lot of times will mean lettuce, tomato, pickles, onions, plus or minus one or two of those ingredients, and then mayonnaise and hot sauce, or mayonnaise and ketchup if it's going to be with fried seafood or roast beef. But it sounds like yours didn't have enough sauce, or maybe the seafood didn't have enough seasoning or something to make it all pop, because a really good shrimp po' boy, in my opinion, is hard to beat. But to answer your question about whether I make them, I do not make them. In New Orleans, we saw a very serious opportunity to open a sandwich shop that wasn't a po' boy shop, because we had so many po' boy shops, but not so many just clear sandwich shops that make non-po' boys.
Ross, thanks a lot for that call at 800-642-1234. Let's meet one of those not po' boys. The Bel Air is one of the this one sounds really good. It's a ham sandwich. I think you call it the ham sandwich of your dreams. Tell us the story of the Bel Air.
So the Bel Air is named after some gas station outside of Charlottesville, Virginia, the town I grew up in the middle of Virginia. There is a gas station called The Market at Bel Air. We called it the Bel Air Market. But it's between where I grew up and getting into the city proper, So when we were driving into town, as we referred to it, I would often stop at this gas station and get one of their amazing sandwiches. My favorite of which is this one. It was called the Jefferson there, and it was made with turkey. We reinterpreted it as a ham sandwich that we've named in the cookbook as the Bel Air, which is ham that we often make in house. Not so much anymore, but whatever. An herb mayonnaise, aged cheddar cheese, arugula, and cranberry sauce. And it's a very faithful representation of the one I grew up eating like two or three times a week on a good week in Charlottesville, Virginia at Bel Air Market.
And did I read this right? The Bel Air Market now has named a sandwich after you?
Yeah, you know, at first I got a little heat. People were like, you know, this sandwich shop is getting a slight acclaim, and they've clearly ripped off a sandwich from their hometown and talk about it as if they'd done nothing wrong. And I did talk to them about it. And since then, we have they've discussed that they're so happy and proud to see the sandwich in a new city and it doing well. And they have done something I found very exciting, which is put a bologna sandwich on their menu after one of our best sellers. And they named it A Touch of Mason, which was an honor to have.
We're talking to Chef Mason Hereford about his new cookbook. It's called Turkey and the Wolf, Flavor Trippin' in New Orleans, featuring quirky twists on some Southern classics, especially sandwiches. And you can join in at 800-642-1234. Our guest is a sandwich connoisseur. Are you? Do you have a favorite sandwich or a problem? You know, they're always better when somebody else makes it for you, right? Well, maybe you need an extra tip, a secret to make your sandwiches better. Share your favorites, share your questions at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Maybe a nostalgic sandwich favorite from your childhood. 800-642-1234 or email ideas at WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our talk with Chef Mason Hereford about his new cookbook, Turkey and the Wolf, Flavor Trippin' in New Orleans. Lots of great sandwich advice, especially from his restaurant, Turkey and the Wolf in New Orleans. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have a nostalgic childhood favorite sandwich? Do you have a nostalgic current favorite sandwich you love to make, or at least love to eat? Whoever makes it. Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Back to your calls. Dan is with us in Wisconsin Dells. Dan, hello.
Hello, how are you?
Good. What do you got for us, Dan?
Well, I used to, when I was a kid, coming home from school in the summertime, we always had cucumbers. So I would take cucumbers that were in mayonnaise along with a little bit of vinegar, put it on some nice thick toast, and then drizzle it with A1 sauce, and it was probably one of my favorite sandwiches, and I still make it today.
You still make it today. Now, do other people like it when you make it, or is it all about that nostalgia for you?
I don't think anybody else would like it. It's just all nostalgia.
That sounds like a pretty good combination to me, Dan. How about you, Mason?
I mean, I think it sounds nice and balanced. I'll have to give it a try.
Fantastic, Dan. I love it. And I remember my fridge sandwich was, I loved when we had leftover meatloaf and making a meatloaf sandwich with a whole bunch of barbecue sauce on it. Can you talk, Mason, about how you go about, like, I don't know, being a mad scientist a little bit like this and finding ingredients that go well together on a sandwich?
I'm very lucky to work with an amazing team of cooks in the kitchen at both of our restaurants. And we like to sort of start with one idea in mind, and maybe there's a leader who takes a dish in a certain direction, but we all like to work together to bounce ideas off each other. Because a lot of times if you, as you mentioned, have a dish that's nostalgic to you, it might not be as presentable to the general populace in the same way. So we try to make everything a team effort, build ideas off each other, and you know, the more brains you have at the table, the more interesting a concoction you can come up with, in my opinion.
Thanks again for sharing that with us at 800-642-1234. Danielle is with us now in La Crosse. Danielle, hi.
Hi. So my story is that this was something that my dad made, and I've never heard it anywhere else, and I don't know why it ever became a thing. But whenever we would have Hamburger Helper as kids, he would always have bread and creamy peanut butter on the table, and you would make peanut butter bread, two slices, and then you put hamburger helper in the middle of it, and you eat it like a sandwich.
Okay, you did that as a kid, Danielle. Have you done it as a grown-up?
I have not. I don't eat meat anymore.
Oh,
so,
okay. That'll kill the hamburger helper.
I will ask my dad if he still makes that.
Danielle, fantastic. Now, that might sound weird to people, but hang on. You've got a not yo mama's peanut butter bacon burger. Mason, beef and peanut butter can live happily together?
That is a fact. Beef and peanut butter, especially with bacon, in my opinion, is an excellent combination. And I would not be against a peanut butter and hamburger helper sandwich.
Fantastic, Danielle. Thanks for sharing that with us at 800-642-1234. Mason, a theme in a lot of your recipes is the abundant use of mayonnaise. And I guess I've had a mayonnaise conversion. I'm from the Midwest. I like mayonnaise, you know, and I like water, right? But I've just in the last couple of years learned to like really like mayonnaise and do cool stuff and use it in different things. Can you talk about how you like to use mayo?
Yeah, I feel like there's a lot of good jokes there that I'm going to stay away from. But we use mayonnaise for all sorts of things. Obviously on a lot of our sandwiches and a lot of our sauces for sandwiches are mayonnaise with cool ingredients mixed in, whether it be purees or hot sauces or pestos or this and that. Other things we use mayonnaise for, let me think here. Oh, I put a little mayonnaise in the ceviche recipe in the book. It's actually an agua chile, and it's based on a Peruvian idea. I had a Peruvian ceviche once that had a little bit of mayonnaise in there for creamy texture. I also put a tiny bit of mayonnaise in a white bean hummus to add to the creamy texture, and that one was sort of hilariously on brand for us. I'm trying to think. You can bake with mayonnaise. I know that there's different cake ideas that have mayonnaise in there. The possibilities are endless. Also, if you have a sauce that breaks, it can help re-emulsify sauces. If that's great.
Fantastic. Let's go back to our callers at 800-642-1234. We're talking to Mason Hereford on Food Friday. His new cookbook is called Turkey and the Wolf, Flavor Trippin' in New Orleans. Karen is with us now in Madison. Karen, hi.
Hi. I'm originally from Madison here in Wisconsin, but lived in Boston for 35 years, and I am thoroughly addicted to Fluffernutter sandwiches, which is peanut butter and marshmallow fluff. The, you know, it's marshmallow cream, but it's the brand fluff. And you put them both together and you have a Fluffernutter sandwich.
I got to ask, Karen, is this a main course or is it a dessert?
Well, that depends on how addicted you get to it. It's sweet. It's awfully sweet. But it's awfully well good.
Karen, thanks a lot for that. Mason, do you do sweet sandwiches that might cross the line into a I guess dessert sandwich?
Sure, why not? I'm down with a Fluffernutter. That sounds delicious. I might make one right after this.
Sounds good. Thanks a lot, Karen. Joanne joins us now in Madison. Joanne, hi.
Hi. Ever since I was a child, we always put when we make a bacon, lettuce, and tomato sandwich, we make it on toast. We put peanut butter on the toast first, and you put the bacon on top of the peanut butter and continue making the sandwich the way you like it, with or without mayo. And it's delicious, and I have converted so many friends to eating peanut butter and peanut butter BLTs.
Interesting. Joanne, thanks a lot for that. And we've got another caller, I think, who's thinking about peanut butter on their sandwiches. Mason, this takes me, I don't know. I think we get locked into, we keep doing our sandwiches the same way again and again. And we're hearing people here and you, of course, getting creative. Do you have thoughts on encouraging the rest of us to try something different that we might, you know, initially turn our noses up at on our sandwiches?
Yeah, you know, I think variety is the spice of life, honestly. And I also think there's a lot of really great savory uses for peanut butter. Peanut butter BLT sounds perfect, in my opinion. But yeah, I think that it's easy to fall into that trap that a sandwich is like exactly what you expect it to be. And I always encourage people to get weird. I say let your freak flag fly on this one.
I want to check out one more sandwich. Actually, we had a caller earlier who said she doesn't eat meat anymore, so this is one for her, I think. A melt sandwich, a collard melt, collard greens. Can you tell us about how this one comes together?
Yeah, so the collard green sandwich, or the collard green melt, as we call it, is tied with our most popular sandwich that we serve. I've been lucky enough to cook it in other countries even. It's been really fun. But basically, it's served triple-decker, almost like a club sandwich. But other than that, there is no overlap. What we have is seeded rye bread, three thinner slices of seeded rye bread that's toasted and on a griddle, Swiss cheese melted, stewed collard greens that we have a recipe in the cookbook that we, you know, over the years, we found out our very specific way that we love to make them for this sandwich. We do a Russian dressing that contains chopped up pickled cherry peppers and coleslaw. And the whole thing, when you eat it together, almost tastes like a vegetarian, like soul food version of a Reuben sandwich. And it's definitely one of our most popular dishes for sure.
That sounds fantastic. And Mason, we'll leave it there. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Yeah, thanks for having me. This was fun.
That's Mason Hereford, chef and owner of restaurants in New Orleans. He talked to us about his cookbook named after one of those restaurants. It's called Turkey and the Wolf, Flavor Trippin' in New Orleans. Hey, still time for you to share your all-time sandwich favorites, and seem to have struck a nerve if you put peanut butter on sandwiches that most people wouldn't expect you to put peanut butter on. We want to hear about it. You can email us, ideas@WPR.org. That's ideas@WPR.org. You can also tweet us at Central Time WPR with your favorite sandwich creations.